morning and welcome to everyone. And today is Reformation Day. We are remembering the start of, not the start, but the renewal of our journey that began 500 and some odd years ago. But as we begin, we will remember again, return to the promises of our baptism, return to these words of Christ to us. So we invite everyone now to stand and turn to face the rear of the church where our baptismal font sits. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took the light. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of waters that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
And we invite you now to be seated as we have a special musical gift to offer, and then that will lead into our opening hymn, our gathering hymn, and we'll ask you to rise when it's time for us all to.
In the days in the church before Martin Luther, it was forbidden for congregants to sing. It was considered too raucous and rowdy a behavior, and singing was limited to priests and trained clergy only. So this morning, as we celebrate congregational singing, and Martin Luther would have said, yes, congregants should be singing hymns because it's a wonderful way to teach scripture, I will sing the first verse in German, the way it was originally presented in the church of the day. And following that first verse, we will all join together, and please join me and my fellow singers up here, and we will sing all four verses on page 504. So the first verse in German, and I know he's not here, but I think Martin would be pleased.
Hilft uns frei aus aller
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and
nervous about this message all week long because I don't know if it's going to work. So if it's a disaster, it's a disaster, people. How are you? Well, today is Wear Red Reformation Day. And so I want to talk to you just a moment about that. Because what does Reformation mean, or why do we celebrate it? Because we remember people who stood up and said that the church was doing something wrong. Right? The church was doing something wrong. Luther said no to that. And that's what true reformation means. So it's a chance for us to always remember that we have to stand up and say no when things are wrong. But that's not really what I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about that symbol, this rose in behind the red. Does anyone know what that is? Anyone? I'll take anyone's comment.
Luther rose.
The Lutheran's rose, yes. The seal of Martin Luther. So I wanted to talk about what it means. What do you think it means? So let's end this. I might need your help with this because I need someone to hold. But let's start with the heart. What do you think the heart represents?
Love.
Love, right? Yeah. But specifically us, right? Because we all have beating hearts. So we start with us, ourselves. We just have a heart. And then what gets added into us? What gets added to the cross? Jesus, right? So we have, this is where it's going to get tricky. I'm going to run out of hands really fast. So the goal of the Christian, right? Oh, here we go. That's disaster number one. Just wait for it. Okay. The cross gets added into our hearts. But where is there, therefore, on this banner, where do you think the heart goes on? A blue field, right? This is where I need your help.
Okay.
A blue field. Why blue, people? The sky. Well, it looks like the sky. And what does the sky represent? Heaven, right. So when we have... Yeah, so put that in the middle there, somewhere. Then we can take. So the heart, once it's been transformed, but you might not have one on the and okay, so the heart, once it's been, Christ has come into our heart, when we get to go around that thing we call heaven, right, represented by the sky, the hope of heaven is in us. But is that it? Is that all that the Christian life is all about?
No.
Oh, because what should outflow from our hearts? Can you bring me those white pieces of paper? Read them, right? Read them. Yeah. Bring them all. Okay, so our life should, once we have the hope of Christ in our heart, and we got the hope of heaven, should we overflow with love? So let's overflow with love. Okay. What other things should overflow with us? Is it just
faith.
Love?
Hmm?
Faith. Faith? Okay, faith. There you go. What else? We got faith, hope, or no, hope. Did we do? Oops. Yeah. What else? So what's another fruit of the Spirit? Hmm?
Joy.
There you go, joy. Someone else? Oh, people are quiet today. So we have faith, hope, joy.
Charity.
Charity. One more. Faith, hope, love, charity.
Peace.
Peace. There we go. So we're going to overflow. So the love of God in our hearts, our hope of heaven, we overflow in our lives with gifts and actions for the world. And one final piece. Can you hand me all the red, the gold there? Just bring me all the gold. There we go. Don't bring me all the gold. It's surrounded with a circle of gold. Why a circle of gold, people? This is the fun part. We've got to make this into a circle. Because God's love surrounds us.
The circle of what?
The circle of gold. See the cross? Right? Because God's love is a circle. that never ends and always encompasses us? Does that hold up so well? More tape. That's what I tell my kids when they were growing up. More duct tape. Okay, a circle says never ending, right?
Yeah.
God's love never ends. God's love is always holding us. God's love endures forever. We're almost there.
Good job, Pastor.
And so this is the meaning of Luther's. But yet, there's more.
Oh.
Because we, and the music, and this is where I need your help again. This is the fun part. No, just come here. Take these here. We wanted to give presents, because this is a great day, and we want to give presents. So you're all going to get a gift of a Lutheran bookmark, and it has Our Fortress is Our God on it, on both sides, right? And the Lutheran rose. So you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? Is to have Jesus in our hearts, overflowing with love, surrounded by hope of heaven, knowing that we're embraced by the love of God. And yet, there's more. For each, you're all going to get a Lutheran rose sticker. So you can put the sticker on your clothes if you want to be like, for good. So that you can put it, take it home on your water bottle, whatever you want, wherever you want to put this, except on any furniture piece in the church. Do you want help? Do you want to hang out? Gotta go. Okay, go pass out. Yeah, there you go. Remember, no stickers on church furniture. Anywhere else is good. Don't forget upstairs, David.
Oh. Thank you.
Don't forget our friends in the foyer and upstairs. North Ends. Thank you. That's what happens when you're nervous. Has everyone got one? I think yours are coming. All right, let's pray. Count three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for leaders. Thank you for leaders.
Thank you for leaders.
To guide us to reform.
To guide us to reform.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading this morning is from Jeremiah, chapter 31. Hear now the word. Days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm today. I'll begin with the light print. Please follow and join in by singing the dark print. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult,
there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts awake.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The second reading is Romans chapter 3. Hear now the word. Now that we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Then Jesus said to those who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, friends, it's that day in the year, that day of Reformation, where we remember that the church, that we need leaders who will speak out when the church does something wrong. And that's the story, that's what we tell ourselves, and that's why we have this day. That motto that came out of the Reformation is, the church must always be reformed. And that's said in Latin, but don't ask me to say it. The church must always be reformed. In every age and every day, because we always need reform. And so we pause today to remember that. We are on a journey. But to get to that journey, we must always be going back to that promise which first made us. This promise that God is here for us. God loves us. When we forget, we go back. But amongst the celebrations, amongst the parts that we're really happy about, because I'm glad to be Lutheran, let's also remember that there are churches down the road, churches throughout this country and the world, for today is not a day of celebration, but a day of tragedy. And that tragedy is the breaking of the unity of the church in the West. It's like if you get divorced and you're really happy about it, but the other person's really sad about it, then you celebrate it once a year. So let's remember that in the midst of the celebration, that is an underlying tragedy. And that was never what the reformers wanted. Martin Luther didn't want to start his own church. He wanted to correct some abuses he saw in the church. The idea was unity. And this thought comes on the heels of returning from the bishop's convocation last week. And I'm going to say the word always, like what always happens there. I know it's been my third time, so I don't know what always goes there. At some point in that conference, they always pull out all the slides and graphs of the future of the church and all the issues of decline, the church is closing, membership's down, and it's all the gloom and doom session with the bishop. And, you know, the prognosis isn't always so cheering for, like, the new clergy in the room. The older ones don't really care. They're about to retire, but the new kids are like, ah, am I going to have a job in 10 years? But the truth of that gloom and doom is that it's not a Lutheran issue, right? It's an entire Western church issue. And so the issues that the Lutheran church are facing are the same issues that the Presbyterian churches are facing, the Catholic churches facing. The same existential we fear about what's going to happen, we all fear. And I couldn't help but think, so I'm always a guy who tries to figure out the solution. What's the possible solution? What does the possible future look like? Well, friends, I don't know how many McDonald's Newport can sustain. I don't think it's 20. But I know that one can be sustained in Newport. So maybe the future is unity. Maybe we don't need 20,000 churches in Newport. But I know Newport can sustain at least one. And I have that hope, because that is the ultimate hope. The future is unity. The future is unity in God, working in Christ Jesus to call us all in one family. There are no Lutherans in the kingdom of God. There are no Catholics. I don't even think there's Muslims or Buddhists. Now we all get a new name, and it's called Child of God. And so maybe unity will be our path as we pray that as on earth as it will be in heaven. But perhaps not. Perhaps the divisions that divided us way back when, they're different now, but no less divisive. So I don't know if that form of unity will occur in this world or not. But I know that we're called to pray for and to work. Perhaps the future is unity. But that breaking of the unity of the church, that's the tragedy of the Reformation. But underneath that tragedy is the real deeper tragedy, and that is our failure to listen to one another. And the story of the Reformation is a story of no one listening to each other. That iconic scene we have of Luther tapping the 95 Theses on the church door. The church door, if you don't know, is like the bulletin board of the community. It was a call to start a discussion about certain abuses that he was seeing in the church. It was to be a start of a listening session where we could talk about what was wrong. But Luther never, ever was given that debate. He was told to be silent, to repent, to not say anything. He begged for the debate. He never got it. And even that other iconic moment we have of Luther before the emperor, he thought once he got to the emperor, he could finally have his debate. But you know, they brought him in. He knew this might be the death penalty, so he was quite afraid. But this was his chance to speak the truth. Finally, the chance to be heard before the emperor. They had all his books laid out. And remember, he was a professor of Bible. So the term publisher parish existed back then too. So he had all his works laid out. And the emperor asked him one question. Are you ready to repent from everything you wrote? So his response was the famous, let me think about it for a day. It was only the next day we get that big old here I stand speech. But the point was, no one listened to him. No one was willing to listen to him. But friends, it's not just let's fast Catholics. Let's remember too that Luther and the Lutherans and the Reformers, we're also not listening to the best of Catholic theologians. They weren't listening to the best. They were listening to the worst. They were responding to abuses. They were responding to abuses that no longer exist in the Catholic Church because they accepted that they were wrong. They were listening and in conversations with the worst of the tradition, not the best. Perhaps if at any point the best of each tradition, of each side, could have come together for a conversation, perhaps the world would be different. And that seems to me a lesson we can all learn in today's world, that we need to listen to one another. And so, because it's Reformation Day, and you all want a quote from Martin Luther, I'm going to quote from you from the Eighth Commandment in his Small Catechism. And for those who aren't familiar with how Lutherans like count the commandments, it's confusing because they count them a little bit differently, but the Eighth Commandment is about bearing false witness. So this is what Luther wrote. We should love and fear God so that we may not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbor, but defend him, think and speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Put the best construction on everything. It is when I'm accustomed to arguing, it is that I put the worst construction on what's being said. I pair it out the worst, and then I get very self-righteous because I can defeat the worst of what I just heard. But what if, instead of creating the straw man that we attack, we actually listen and then actually even parry back what we think we're hearing in a manner that person agrees with it? Because if you can repeat something back to a person that you disagree with, and they say, oh, that's exactly my position, well, then you've heard them. And now you have the point where you can actually begin the conversation. But too much of our discord today is about a caricature, not about their actual thoughts or deeds. And perhaps we're afraid to actually listen, because listening deeply, understanding the concerns of the other, might lead to change. And we are all afraid of change. And that leads us back to the point of a day like this, that we are called. We are called to transform. But Reformation specifically speaks not of change for change's sake, but of a returning to the root of who you are. We started our service returning to the promises of our baptism, the promises that you are a child of God, the promise that you are united to His life, in his death. We will journey to the promise of this table, that here is the body of Christ for you. The promise that you are now the body of Christ for the world. Reform is to return to that promise and be transformed from it. And why must we always return to the promise? Because, friends, we always forget the promise. I think the promise that God is present in my life is the first thing I forget every morning. Say my prayers, and I go get my coffee, and I completely space out and forget that God is with me all the time. We need to be remembered. We need to remember the promise. Because God's presence is the first thing we forget each day. So we return. Friends, we return to who we are. You are the child of God. Blessed, precious, beautiful. And our world is moving to a point of reconciliation of all things with God. And may our return to that promise each and every moment of every day we forget be the promise that transforms us into the image of God. Amen.
Amen.
Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation. Lord of all, we give thanks for the whole church throughout the world. Open wide the paths toward unity between denominations, so that all followers of Christ may join in shared worship and mission. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Renewing God, as the dying leaves display their beauty, we are reminded that nature's cycle of life includes and requires both life and death. Instill in your people a mission of preservation and appreciation for trees, animals, and waterways threatened by climate collapse. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, in the spirit of reformation, we pray for all who cry out for relief from systemic oppression. May the hearts of those who occupy seats of power be reformed so that peace becomes the center of our life together. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Comforting God, be with all who are sick, suffering, or grieving in our own community and beyond. Especially Aaron, Madeline, Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Jeanette, Twilight, Dietmar, Skip, Michael, David, Lael, Cameron, Marty, Tessia, Backart family, Sabine, Darcy, victims of Hurricane Helene, our Savior Lutheran Church, victims of the war around the world, national world disasters. Surround them with the promise of your love, comfort, and grace that never ends. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Divine Guide, continue to challenge this community to be ever reforming in our ministries and outreach efforts. Inspire creative ideas among us so that the communal, grace-filled world of God remains at the heart of our ministry. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, in Christ's resurrection, you ensure that through that though life may be wrenched away, death cannot win the day. May the truth of your saving grace through faith sustain our hope for life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. I invite us all now to come back. And when you're ready to stand for our offering hymn. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered and feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. That we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
Give thanks, for you are almighty and merciful. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. We thank you, for you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God, the gift of God for all the people of God. And all are welcome to come forward and take this table. In a moment, the usher will come forward and we ask you to fill it in from right to left. You may receive communion in either standing or kneeling. We only ask that you extend your hand out and you receive the bread in your hand. And then as the wine is passed around, to reach in and to take the cup that you so choose. The red cup is wine, the clear cup is grace. Know that all are welcome, and all are welcome here. Amen.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with the dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just want to take a few brief moments for announcements, and we have the words of the week, so pay attention to those. We do have, just want to announce again, that we have our book club study on Tuesday at 11, and then Thursday at 5 here, we study the book called A Conversation with Martin Luther. If you'd like to be part of that conversation, come to either of that, and if you'd like to read the book, I haven't gotten a chance to, I have a copy, so come see me. We have a bunch of things coming up. Church Council is this Sunday, and then there's a few things I'm supposed to announce. And then today at 2:30, if you want, come to the Episcopal Church. We're having a celebration of 20 years of Stone Soup Ministry, and our cooks will be both be thanked, and will be a time of fellowship with all the other cooking teams. So if you're able, 2:30 at the Episcopal Church. And finally, friends, since it's a Reformation Sunday and we're talking about change, we do have a survey in your bulletin. Please look at the survey, and please, it would be helpful if everyone filled one out. They'll be available for the next couple weeks. And we just want to ask a simple question in terms of choir, whether or not going upstairs in the choir loft is an impediment to people wanting to participate. So we just want to have that on honest feedback. And so the question is, no, it's not an impediment. Or yes, it is. I'm all lost today. So the question is, if choir were downstairs, would you think about participating in it? Right? And then the second question is, it doesn't matter, or the second answer is, it doesn't matter where the choir is, I'm not going to participate.
Oh.
Right? And then we don't mean that as like negative. Just that it doesn't matter. So if we spend all the time moving, it's not going to matter because you're not going to participate in it. So please, it's not a commitment, right? You're not committing to be in the choir, but just find whichever box is closest to where you are and mark it. I probably should have worded that whole thing. It's always about grace.
Yes.
Always about grace. We just, yeah. All right, let's move on. Book club. I'm missing something, but that's all right. The church council, you're not free to go after service. We have a meeting at 12, so you have to stick around. Everyone else, please enjoy coffees and cookies, and let us prepare for our benediction. God Almighty. God most merciful, bless you, keep you, and give you peace.
Amen.